The Bible is not just a book, it is the very Word of God. Its pages tell us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. When we read it, we step into the truths of God that shape our lives. His Word gives direction and hope. The psalmist declared, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Every page points us closer to Him and steadies us in the ebb and flow of life. Just as our bodies need food, our souls need the nourishment of Scripture. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." His Word strengthens us, feeds us, and reminds us of His promises. When we open the Bible, we open our hearts to God's voice. The invitation is simple. Open His Word, listen to His voice, and let it transform you from the inside out.
For He is God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than our ways. Amen. So I want to tell each and every one of you this day that you are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Amen. And I pray that you came to worship this day, that God is with you, that He's keeping you, that He's protecting you. Amen. Amen. That's all I can tell you, because I know He's there. I see Him. I stay on my knees and I see Him moving and doing things, shifting things around. So I get up and praise Him every day, all through the day. Especially when I see Him moving in my life, I go praise Him, because this is what, you know, helps us to be able to see God, because you saw His move and you praised Him. So the next time you see Him, you'll go praise Him, and it is for His glory. Amen. Now, are there any praise reports this morning? What is a praise report? A praise report is when God comes through for you and you know it's something that you couldn't have done, and you know without a doubt it had to be God. So if you got a praise report, speak up. Let us all shout right along with you. It strengthens all of our faith. Amen. Do I hear any praise reports this morning?
Well, I have a praise report.
Amen. Come on.
Well, during the past couple of months, probably a little bit longer, just praying and going through spiritual warfare, praying, learning how to pray, understanding the different types of warfare, and also praying and asking God for His move in my life. I've been seeing a lot of the changes that have been taking place, and a lot of the lessons that Elder has been teaching, I've been coming back to, especially like learning to pray at the altar, the types of warfare prayer, the types of prayer, and also just leaning and understanding and listening to God. I've been seeing some breakthroughs, even though the enemy still tries to come at you all the time. Just learning what we're learning is giving me a lot of foundational support and the ability to stand and fight against the enemy in different areas. And this week, I've seen some breakthroughs that come through, and I've seen some answered prayers. And some of the things are things that I prayed about, what might be minor to you, you know, can be a big thing for somebody else. And so even with the things that I've asked for, that I've prayed for in the past, and I just kind of dropped them, God brought them forth. Sometimes you can ask for things and just speak it and then just leave it alone and you know, don't worry about it anymore. And then a couple of weeks later or so, God will manifest it for you. So that's what happened this week. And some of the things I've asked about, I've actually seen come to pass. We've had, you know, trees in our yard for the back, in the back of our house for a long time. It just looked like a forest. And that was like, okay, Lord, we need to get these cut down. And didn't have anybody that was available to do it because we're too busy. And this week, all of a sudden, I come home and they're gone. These are things I've been asking for like 3 or 4 months. And then, you know, spending time at my job and being busy with that. My husband had prepared a dinner for me, and I was just so excited after that, that, you know, he was even being so thoughtful to do something like that. And people were just giving all week. It's just like, Friday I had wanted some coffee pots to kind of enhance my little coffee place at home. And somebody just walked up and said, here, do you want these? So the little things that we think about that we feel like is not important, and that God's not going to hear a prayer about, he does. He gives us the desires of our heart. And he stands with us, and he helps to fight for us in every area of our life. So just learning what I'm learning and putting it into practice, I can see how the word of God is truth, and it comes to pass, and that he never forsakes or leaves you, and he hears every prayer, regardless of how important or how small it may be. So that was my praise for today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You got me excited this morning. And so I want you all to understand that even things that we think sometimes, you know, he brings it forth, it still does it. And you then, what's going on? You know, you ask yourself, because he says, I was just thinking about it. I didn't even pray about it. But guess what? Your father heard it. Your father heard it. Jesus heard it. The Holy Spirit heard it. The angels heard it. Don't think you don't have angels. Everybody got angels that are assigned to you. But we're going to talk about a few things this morning. I started a sermon series off a little while back because it's important that we understand what happened in the beginning, and then we can begin to understand what's going on now and why it's happening. Amen. So now this lesson is about who told thee that thou wast naked. And we're talking about number 3. But as I go off into it, I'm telling you these things in this lesson because you better understand why you do what you do now because of what happened back then. Long time in the beginning with Adam and Eve, and that you never forget that you are Adam, men, and that you're Eve, women, okay? Amen. Just you have to remind yourself every now and then, I'm Adam. Because I'm making the same mistakes that Adam made. And he made some in the Bible, some you may not find that easily, but some of the things are very important for us to remember. Now, with that said, we're not going to have a lot of fanfare this morning. So I want you to bow your heads and let's get into the lesson. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. We thank you for Jesus, that he died for all of our sins, that he made a way for us to come back to you, Lord. And we thank you that he left us a comforter, the Holy Spirit of promise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for you are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus, that you are worthy to be praised. And thank you, Holy Spirit, you are worthy to be praised. Father, we invite the Holy Spirit into this meeting today and into all of our lives. that your revealed knowledge will come forth and open our spiritual eyes and give us more information about this lesson according to our own lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, let's talk about it. Now, let's go back to the beginning. Get your Bibles out. You're gonna need them today. And I need your imagination today. I need you to bring it with you today. And I need your heart. I need you to have it in this lesson, because it's talking about us from the beginning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 11. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. When you get there, say amen. All right, I heard you. This is how it reads. Who told thee that thou wast naked? And we're talking about verse 11 in chapter 3. Let me start this over. Chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 11. 3:11. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Have thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Who told thee that thou wast naked? Number 3. Now, this statement is not just about their physical nakedness, but it's also about a deeper spiritual truth, that they had lost their innocence through disobedience. Amen. Now, Adam and Eve lived in harmony with God and with each other, with no guilt, no fear, or shame, because they were naked. The real truth of it is that they were always naked, but felt no shame because their relationship with God was pure. Amen. Now let's go to verse 12. It says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. But she had no idea what she had done. Amen. Now let's go back and see what they had done. Let's go to the second chapter of Genesis and verse 15. Keep up with me now. We got a lot to cover today. I want you to understand what happened. And it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That means that in the beginning, man was set up for eternal life. In verse 25 of chapter 2, it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, I need to bring that point out to you. They were not ashamed. Now, let's go to chapter 3. Back to chapter 3. And let's go to verse 22. And this is how it reads. Now, when I told you they were set up for eternal life, I want to answer that question for you. Verse 22 says, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and he must not be allowed to reach out his hands and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. You see, if they would have kept eating from that tree only, what this is telling you is they would have lived forever. Now let's go back to verse 1 in chapter 3. This is how it reads. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, we're talking about the serpent, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, what was he trying to do to the woman? I know you all see it. He's trying to tell her that God is trying to keep you from something. Because if you eat of this tree, you're going to be like a god. You'll be just like him, knowing good and evil. So, you know, this appealed to the woman, and she enjoyed the thought of being like a god and being wise. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. I hear that word again. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, what did they learn when they ate from this tree? Did Satan lie? No. What did become of the words that he spoke? They did become wise in their own eyes. Verse 7, and the eyes of them were both opened. And we talk about immediately. And they knew they were naked. Now something has happened. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons from the fig leaves. Why? Because their eyes were opened and they saw good and evil for the first time and at the same time. They saw everything God saw on the earth. But they could not see all because God is the creator, so he sees and knows all. Now, what did they see? They saw their flaws for the first time. They were naked and sewed an apron of fig leaves because they were ashamed. Number two, they sewed an apron of fig leaves to cover their shame and nakedness. They saw their nakedness for the first time and their flaws, which brought them shame. Now, what do we, as Adam and Eve way down the line, what do we do to cover up our nakedness and shame from the world or seeing through the world's eyes? And how we cover up our flaws. Who told thee if thou wast naked? That's my question to you today. Well, to cover up our flaws, our nakedness, our shame, we wear our best clothes. We clean our cars up. We clean up the house. The best parts, so that people won't see the worst parts. And the worst parts, we tell them, keep that door closed. Show everybody our talents and what somebody told us was our gift. Why? We cover up our nakedness and shame. The things that we don't want them to see. We go out and buy all types of trinkets, chains and jewelry. Why? To cover up our nakedness and shame. Whenever or whatever we can do to try to cover up our guilt and shame, we sew our fig leaves together to cover it up. Now, I got one question for you all today. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Was it God or was it Satan? We opened the door to hear another voice in our heads. At first, we only heard the voice of God, which kept us in an innocent state. Because he told us what we do, what we need to hear, where we need to go. We named every animal on this earth. We gave them all a name. Amen? We had an important job. How many of you can say this scripture today to the Lord and truly mean it? It's found in Psalms 139 and 23. This is how it reads. Search me, O God, and know my heart, O Lord. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, if we went before God and said this to God, some of us might catch fire right there on the spot. Number one, because what's in our heart? Number two, what we do every day And number three, how we try or things that we do to cover our nakedness and shame. Well, this is what God says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. And this is how it reads. The Bible says, get rid of the old yeast. What does that mean? Yeast is something that blows up the bread. Without the yeast, the bread would be flat, like what we use for tacos or burritos, okay? That's what it would do. That's what it looks like. But what it does when we add yeast to it is it blows it up. So what do we do to cover our nakedness? Because we don't want the Lord or nobody on the earth to see us just like we are. Okay? Women, we put makeup on to cover our flaws in our skin. Men, we make muscles and we go out and learn how to do all these other things instead of concentrating on the inside. Being a better person. Being kind, having compassion. Now, I know that's hard to do right now, and you have to pick and choose who you can show compassion around and who you can show compassion to. But this is what it says now. I want you to hear it. I'm going to have to read it again so you can get the real meaning of it. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch. As you really are. That's where he wants to see you. As you really are. You don't have to take your gold chains, your expensive watches, all your real nice clothes that you put on to cover yourself up, right? You don't have to have that. You just come to God just as you are, is what this scripture is saying you. It says, unleavened batch, a new unleavened batch. That's telling you, you don't have to have that. Just come as you are. You see, there's so many things in Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is what it says. If you come to him as you are and honor him, it says, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of the sheep. Boy, if you knew what he was talking about. The fruit of the body, you'll be okay, you're gonna be healthy. The fruit of the ground, whatever you plant, it's going to grow up. The fruit of thy cattle, if you got them, they're going to grow up. Whatever you got is going to grow. The increase of thine kind means you have more children, you see. The flocks of thy sheep, whatever you got is going to grow and prosper under him. He said, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Whatever you selling, whatever you promoting, whatever you're doing, it's going to prosper. It says, blessed shall thou be when thou cometh in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. So wherever you go, the angels are going to be there. They're going to prepare a place for you. They're going to watch over you and cover you. And when you leave, you're going to leave with your bodyguards. They're going to be there for you. You'll be blessed when you go out. Now, I wrote another confession for you all today, because I want you to be positive and I want you to know God. Because if you know God, you don't have to cover up all of your flaws. You don't have to cover up your nakedness, because you know God and you take God with you wherever you go. You're not worried about what people think about you, because when we let that other, when that other tree came in, it opened up something else in us that we did not have to do in the beginning. We didn't have to hide our nakedness or our flaws. because we were before God, the creator. And we didn't have to worry about that because God accepts you just the way you are. The Bible says he knew you before the foundations of the world. And he's the one who created you. In whatever form you came out, whatever flaws you got, he created you that way. He wants you to accept your own self. Be comfortable in your own skin. Don't worry about what these people, they're going to have an opinion. I don't care if you went and paid them off. I don't care if you went and paid all their bills for them. They don't care. They'll talk about you, whether you good or bad. So why worry about it? Don't worry about covering up your flaws. This is me. Because when you take off all the good singing you can do, all the other things that you can do, all the talents you got, then that's you. What you're doing with those things is covering up your nakedness and your shame. But don't be ashamed and don't think that you're naked. And don't be ashamed of who you are, what you stand for, where you stand. Because the world is not going to accept you, you know, the way you are. Because God says you are a peculiar people. And don't you forget it. You're not going to be like the world. You're not going to operate like the world. But you're going to be blessed like one of God's children, one of his beloved. And I put a D on it. I put, well, you know, influence on that word. I put what we call some English. Because you are accepted in the beloved. And you need to be proud of it. Be proud of who you are and who God made. Don't be ashamed, but thank God for all that he has done for you, that you're still here today. Do you know how many people are dropping like flies around you? They're not hearing what God is telling them. Turn here, make a change. The world has changed. So I want you to do this, to cover yourself. He's telling you all the time. He's giving you real-time information. Submit yourself unto God, and he will guide your path. Not your wisdom, and not the word that's around here on the earth. And a lot of it is mixed in with the word. So you got to have discernment. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. This is my confession for you today. It says, I declare today that I have the mind of Christ. I choose to align my thoughts, my heart, and my actions with the will of God. I reject every deceptive thought that seeks to lead me astray. I humbly submit myself to God's perfect plan for my life. I commit to daily the renewing of my mind. I choose not to conform to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every thought that rises up against the knowledge of God, I take it captive and arrest it and bring it into captivity so that it may obey Christ. Today, I claim victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, one thing I did not finish telling you. Well, I'm going to have to bring it to you next week. My time is up for today. But I'm not through with this lesson, because next time we're going to talk about what did the wisdom of the world do for mankind. We already know that it brought us guilt and shame. Now let's find out what else it did. Amen? Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, this wonderful day today. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us humble ourselves that we may rejoice in him. and not in ourselves and the things that we see with our physical eyes. Father, we walk in the spirit of life, that it is true, that it is real, and that it gives us comfort knowing that God is in the middle. Thank you, Father, for all you do. And we pray that we glorify your name in everything we do, every deed we do, everything that we take on every day, we include you in it. And we thank you that every spiritual and natural need is met in thy Son Jesus' name. And we pray, amen and amen. All right. Well, that was a powerful lesson today. And I thank you that God is touching, leading, and guiding you this day. Open yourself, invite him in, hear his voice. Amen. Now, those that want to give, remember, if you don't have to give today, give at another time, but don't not give. And I know I didn't use correct English, but you understand what I'm saying. Give, help the church to grow, help the church to stay here. Amen. Amen. Thank you, you all. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. We look forward to seeing you at Bible study. Amen. This joy that I have, give it, the world can't take it away.
Holding key, though tested every day.